Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. Well, this hour we'll be talking about communication, especially within the context of marriage. So here's my question in that regard, just to get us started. What's the reason that most couples stop communicating? What changes within their relationship so that even when they do actually talk and communicate back and forth, they find themselves speaking different languages and so often miss and misinterpret one another? Where do you suppose that departure happened? It is in their schedule, in their hearts, because of a recent argument? And then how do we recover healthy, life-giving conversation and communication? And what are the aspects of communication that will actually contribute to our marriage and bring strength to it? Well, my guests today are my precious friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, and we'll get them on here in just a moment. A quick announcement, though. Max Lucado's got a book coming out in September. It's called Anxious for Nothing. It's such a timely topic. Well, guess what? You can win it here before you can buy it on the shelves at the store. Because we are partnering with their ministry and they're so kind and generous, we've got 3 copies a day that we're able to give away. So if you long to see Max's book before it even hits the shelf, especially if you battle with anxiety issues, I'm telling you what, hop on our website, myfaithradio.com. You'll see it on that homepage. Sign up to win, and I sure hope you do. All right, let me tell you about my guests. I don't really think they need an introduction, but let me do it anyway. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. His books include The DNA of Relationships, The DNA of Parent and Teen Relationships, and The Wholehearted Marriage, just to name a few. Aaron Smalley's Program Director at Focus on the Family. She's an author and speaker as well and works alongside Greg. They do marriage intensives and seminars together. They live in Colorado Springs. They have 3 daughters, a son-in-law, and a son named Garrison. You can find their influencer page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Greg and Aaron, welcome back to the program.
We are back.
Yay,
it's been a long time.
It has been a long
time.
It
feels like way too long. Oh, my goodness.
We were starting to think
that
we had offended
you. We changed
our
number, changed the locks, and you still got in.
Wondered why Domino's Pizza kept answering when I thought it was you. I've eaten a lot of pizza, though. I'm not going to lie.
Well, we sure missed you guys. But I got to see Aaron at our
That's what
conference,
I was going to say.
Yeah.
So Greg can feel rejected.
I won't. Exactly. By process of elimination, Greg, and you're the only one.
Yeah, notice.
I was voted off the relational island.
That's
is that
right.
It?
Yes.
Right.
So welcome back. But don't mess this up. I'm just kidding.
Don't blow it, Greg.
You sound just like my father when I was younger.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, well, let's recover from that one. And I don't need an email because we love each other. This is how we banter. I once in a while get an email for how I banter with you, Greg. And he's just not a victim. I'm just telling you.
No, please write in and confront her.
I'm surprised I don't get emails because
speak
I gang up, on him with you.
I know. Anyway, so here we go. Onward and upward, friends. So we love to start out by talking scripture. Aaron, I'll start with you. Is there a verse you've been thinking about these days?
Yes, I have a one that all of us know. It's Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Mm. And of course, talking about communication in marriage today, it just fits perfectly because often with that verse, we focus on the power of death, that our tongue has the power of death, versus we also have an opportunity to offer life into our marriage through what we say, through our words, through the conversations that we have. And, you know, I'm excited today to get into this, to really talk about the different types of conversations, but particularly the one that brings a lot of life to our marriage.
Yeah, very good. Greg, how about you?
Well, you know, there is a great verse that says that we are to encourage one another daily. And, you know, like how a wife and a radio host might encourage the male guests.
She's still feeling rejected.
Daily.
So glad you're
minute
here,
by minute. You know, I love 1 Corinthians 13:12 that says, "Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known."
Love that.
There's something powerful when you think about communication in a marriage, about being known and fully knowing your spouse, and that whole idea of intimacy, into me see. There's something powerful, and there's a type of communication that really facilitates that verse happening within a marriage, and I can't wait to talk through what that really looks like.
And just to give you a little glimpse of what happens behind the scenes, so we have Greg and Aaron on pretty much every month and sometimes twice a month, and they're the ones who, just because of their ministry out and about, that God just puts certain topics on their hearts, and then they write in and say, let's be our topic this time. I want to know, just from behind the scenes for you guys, Greg, we'll start with you, how this today's topic kind of came to be for you.
You know, a lot of times we hear people talk about communication. We all know that communication really is a lifeblood in a marriage. You're only going to be as healthy as your communication. I mean, we hear these kinds of quotes and phrases. So we need to communicate well. But it seems like, though, oftentimes when we talk about communication in marriage, we're using one word, communication, to describe actually a whole bunch of really important conversations that we need to be having. As a matter of fact, Aaron and I want to focus in on four types of communication that happens within a marriage. But here's the problem. Three of these happen naturally. You don't have to work at them. They take place. You just are responding, reacting to it. The fourth, which is actually the most life-giving type of communication, will never happen accidentally. It is not just going to happen. You have to be very, very intentional, very proactive, and we want to talk about that one as well. But all four are needed, but three of them, the first three, will cause death in your marriage ultimately if those are the only ways that you communicate. This last one, number four, actually will bring life to your marriage.
So you're saying if you were to count on these three types of communication that happen almost by instinct, that they're not strong enough to hold your marriage up, it's too weighty of a thing to count on these three types that just happen instinctively?
Yes. As a matter of fact, these first three types, if that's all that takes place over time, people just don't talk. They don't want to talk. It's like if we talk, we're going to end up in a fight. We're going to administrate something. We're going to have a business meeting. We're just going to kind of chew the fat. And so the research shows that couples married a long time, that they decrease the amount of good life-giving communication that happens in a marriage. And we believe it's because they focus on those first three types that we want to unpack. Mm. We need to intentionally include this fourth that will bring life to a marriage.
Very good. So before we get into them kind of in an expanded measure, Aaron, why don't you list them off so people who know where we're going here with these four?
Sure. You know, there's informal conversation, administrating your marriage, dealing with challenges, and then the fourth is life-giving conversations. And like Greg said, it is so true. You'll go to a restaurant and you'll see that older couple who's been married, you know, 50-plus years, sitting and staring at each other and having very little words to each other, you know, in between the two of them. And all of us, when we see that, I'm sure that all of us have that thought of, oh, my word, I don't want that to be how we are, you know, come 50 years. And, you know, we want to have great conversation and great communication. And a matter of fact, 70% of Americans think good communication is the most important factor in a happy marriage. So it's showing that people see the importance of it and they desire to have it. And our greatest fear is it falling apart and imploding.
So I wonder if, you know, when we say 70%, that makes a lot of sense. I'm sure that that's true. Do you think, Aaron, when they say 70% and they're saying good communication, do you think they always mean this life-giving piece? I mean, sometimes I wonder if they even interpret that as, I just know that we need to hear each other and we need to clarify with each other. Like, this is an added bonus that I think would add such blessing to our marriage if we included this in what good communication really is, you know?
Yeah, I think that they're desiring the fourth, but what we really need is we need all four types of communication because they all have different benefits to our relationship. So it's important to have all four. But again, like Greg said, the first three we're going to do just instinctively, you know, kind of like a knee-jerk reaction that's just going to happen, versus the fourth is the one that we have to be very, very intentional about. And the research is strong that shows that it has a huge impact on our relationship, a beneficial impact on our relationship.
Okay, well, let's tackle number one then. Informal conversations. Kind of define this for us and give us some examples of what that looks like.
Yeah, this is sort of, you think of like shooting the breeze, chewing the fat. This is where we're not talking about anything really deep. you know, spiritually deep, emotionally deep. This is when Aaron and I are just kind of exchanging facts. You know, what does the weather look like today? Oh, it looks like it's going to rain. This is when, you know, Aaron might call me, you know, at work and say, hey, dude, the funniest thing just happened to me. Well, as a matter of fact, you did one of my favorite stories about her is kind of within this informal conversation.
Yes. About a year ago, I was playing bunco with a group of ladies at noontime. So our lunchtime bunco group. I don't know what that means, that we were, you know, Christian gambling at lunchtime.
It means you have a problem. Yeah, if you're doing that during lunchtime.
Apparently. So noon, I leave work and everyone's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to play bunco. Well, great. So I put the address of this house in my GPS. And so I drive and, you know, it's saying, you know, turn left. And then it says your destination is up on the right. So I pull over, there's a bunch of cars there and I get out of the car and I walk up to the front door and there's a sign on it that says, come on in. So I'm like, oh, that's so welcoming. So in I go and I walk in and I, you know, for a brief moment, I was like, well, there's a lot of ladies here, but for some reason, this doesn't look like the place we played last time. And
you don't recognize any of the women.
I don't recognize any of them, but the extrovert that I am, I start lots of conversations and just interact with them.
Well, Greg and I are like, our toes are curling behind the scenes.
Yeah, seriously.
I think I even got a drink and had a snack. And then they say, hey, are you ready for the, it was like a PTA meeting.
Oh my.
And I looked at them and I went, what? And they said, are you not here for the PTA meeting? And I said, no, I'm here to play bunco. And they looked at me and they went, you play bunco at lunchtime? And they said, whose house are you looking for? And I'm like, you know what? I really don't know. But my GPS said this is where it was at.
That
but Aaron got
best.
Elected as president, though, at the PTA club that day.
And this is how this goes.
Yeah. So I walked outside and walked up the street. And lo and behold, there was another house that had
goodness.
A bunch of cars in front of it. And so I called Greg after it. I said, you're not going to believe what happened to me today. Leave it to me.
But it's such a great example. I mean, that, you know, just the things that happen to us, you know, it's just we're shooting the breeze. And what's important about this style is that this is when we're exchanging, you know, just basic information. So, but we're establishing this simple connection, you know, without this deep emotional vulnerability.
Right.
And that's the difference. I mean, now, this is me saying this. I don't believe a marriage could sustain itself if every moment you're in this deep, emotional, vulnerable conversation. We just can't stay there always. Aaron might be able to. I definitely could not do that. And so this type is important. But it's not, you're not going deep. You're connecting, but it's not a deep emotional connection, which is why it's still good, but it's not getting us to that life-giving conversation.
So we're talking about four types of communication, and Greg and Aaron say that these first three just happen by instinct, but the fourth one is necessary for us to have a life-giving marriage. When we come back, we'll talk about the next one, but before we get there, I'd like you to both maybe address, does it ever happen where a marriage is so divided that even the informal conversation ceases? And if someone listening today is at that place, maybe what are some next steps they can take? Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family, talking about communication. More great conversation up ahead. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Have our great friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family, joining us today. They join us every month and sometimes twice a month. Today, we're talking about communication within the context of marriage. And they've shown up with four types of communication, three of which happen instinctively, sort of without trying. And what they say, though, is our marriage is not built to, it's not sustainable to just rely on these three types of communication. You need a fourth type, and we're going to get there. We've just spent the first segment unpacking that first type, and it's informal. Formal conversations where a funny thing happened today, kind of conversation in passing, and just about catching each other up on life a little bit. My question before we move to number two is, you know, consider a marriage that gets to a point where the divide is so deep that even the informal conversation has ceased. I'd love for both of you to speak to that person listening today. What must they do to start talking again?
And even these ones that typically happen naturally can become very stressed and, you know, fewer and fewer words, because if someone's heart is hardened, I know we've talked a lot about that on your show previously. If someone's heart is hardened, then, you know, it's going to be very minimal. You know, you might feel like there's a wall between you, a brick wall between you and your spouse. And even these simple conversations can become so stressful and irritable. And so, I mean, first and foremost, I would encourage someone who's listening, if you're thinking, yep, that's my marriage, you know, take a step back and really evaluate what is going on in my heart. You know, maybe what's going on in my spouse's heart, but then I just encourage you to get help. You know, go talk to a Christian counselor, talk to a pastor, and just really start unpacking what has led you there.
Great. What do you say, Greg?
Yeah, I think what's important is to recognize that again, there's a place for all three of these first, you know, these first three, and especially the fourth one, and there's some benefit. I think it's easy to minimize this type of communication. It's not real deep. You know, I didn't get some great emotional connection. It's not important. But sometimes this is the exact kind of communication that if you're intentional, just to let's catch up, let's do a quick, you know, how was your day? You know, the weather looks great. You know, just what happened in general. If we do that and try to ask those questions or even offer, let's say you ask your husband, hey, how'd work go today? Fine. Well, you may be frustrated going, that's all I get is a fine. Well, offer. I mean, talk about your day. And so at least try this, because it's not maybe getting you that life-giving communication that you're after. But this can certainly provide a little bit of connection. So
yeah, it's like
I
an
would
olive
just
branch.
People don't run by it.
Yeah, I love that, because it really is like an olive branch, because you can sure see how pride could be built up where it's like, I'm not talking to you if you're not talking to me. So it takes humility to go, I'm going to go first, and I'm going to keep going first as God gives me this grace to reach out and ask about their day. I appreciate you guys saying that. Okay, so number two.
And I tell you, Susie, too, just real quick, I think for a lot of women, this isn't true for every guy, but I think for a lot of women, you've got to warm us into the deeper emotional conversations. Most women are so great. You can get there in seconds. You can have this deep connection. You're sharing.
Kind of like men are with that other thing.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 We can want, yes,
what other thing?
Intimacy very quickly. Yet I think as communication goes, you know, when Aaron calls and says, hey, I just broke down today because I had this horrible thing happen, it's so quick that I'm catching up, trying to get to where she is depth wise. And so this type can be sort of a communication foreplay, maybe we could call it.
Or not.
Sure.
Can we say that?
Yes, or not.
Sure.
Yes.
I'm calling it that.
It does make sense, because if I call you at work, you're in your work cave, your work cubicle.
My work mode.
Yeah, that he's not going to respond at that deep level because he's distracted, but also because he doesn't go to the depth that we do as women quickly. And it's good to acknowledge that they communicate differently. And if you're having difficulty with communication in your marriage and your husband isn't responding, I have been thinking, just contemplating the courage it takes in marriage, that we have to have courage to go first, courage to be the one to humble ourselves, you know, be strong and courageous. Joshua 1:9, you know, do not be terrified, do not be dismayed, that the Lord your God is with you in your marriage. He is with you, and he will make you courageous.
Very, very good. Excuse me, my voice is changing as we speak. All right.
Sorry, we're boring you with our informal conversations.
I'm going through adolescence or something. I don't know. Anyway, we've got about 3.5 minutes to our hard break at the bottom. So let's tackle number two, is administrating your marriage. Go ahead and talk about that one.
Yeah, and Susie, this is another one that is, you know, it happens naturally, but it's important, because really what we're talking about are the tasks that need to be accomplished, decisions that need to be made, you know, financial, what the budget's going to look like, you know, do we have any social gathering, you know, options on the table that we need to talk through, you know, what is going on that we need to administrate within our marriage. In many ways, it's like a business meeting.
To-do lists, those
kinds
of things.
Yeah, things that we've got to get done. And it's important to recognize that there are benefits to this simple type of conversation, that we efficiently and effectively manage our life together, because sometimes that can be a little crazy and it can get overwhelming when you add, you know, one child, two child, teenagers, you know, kids going to college. Right now, I'm sure there's many people out there that have a list a mile long, especially those moms that are buying school supplies and getting backpacks and uniforms and, you know, packing their kids up for college. There's just so much to manage. And Greg and I sometimes do this well, and other times, you know, we'll miss something on the calendar and, you know, it'll fall apart. But then we regroup and continue to administrate.
Mm. Great.
Yeah, we have to have business meetings.
Yeah.
And we can't avoid that. And this is a great example of the kind of communication, as Aaron was saying, that will naturally happen. You don't have to work. You don't have to press to have to administrate. It just, there's so much to run a life.
I would think you would have to work. I'm just wondering about this because I would imagine there's a good way to administrate and a bad way. Because if you're not planning, as you say, and having a meeting to say, okay, let's tackle these things, and even having some boundaries around it, the way you'll administrate might be kind of in an adversarial way, no?
You can. So definitely if you set it up to where you're adversarial, you're not functioning as a team, but a good team is going to talk. I think about, you know, our son loves basketball. So you think about, there's five guys out there, they're a team, they're playing, and defense is only effective when you're talking to each other about what's happening. Whoa, you gotta, you know, someone's coming up to set a pick, or, you know, switch, switch, switch. I mean, there's the best defense in basketball happens because you're constantly communicating. In the same way, we do this well, we administrate well when we're talking. Hey, by the way, you know, don't forget, we've got this thing tonight. Oh man, I totally forgot about that. Thanks. And oh, that means I got to rearrange this and that. It just, the more that we talk about what's going on and include each other and be flexible enough, because stuff is going to constantly be changing. It's fluid. You know, things are constantly unfolding to where we need to be flexible. For Aaron to say, man, I'm so sorry, Greg, I've got to get to an appointment that just came up, and I can't pick up Annie. Can you go and run and pick Annie up? And I did that on a snowy, icy day, I think just a couple years ago. And, you know, so I had to be flexible, and she couldn't get Annie. I went to get Annie. And I wasn't really paying attention, and I ended up rear-ending this lady with my car, you know, in the parking lot. And so all of a sudden she as we were exchanging information, a commercial comes on in her car. It's talking about a father-daughter date that's coming up. She's like, oh, this is so cool. My husband's going to that.
Okay, you got to hold it. You got to stop, because I want the people to hear the punchline on this one. Talking to Greg and Aaron Smalley. We'll be back in just a minute. I just had to let that play out. Isn't that an amazing song? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. I have our good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, on the program today, talking about these forms of communication that have to happen within the context of marriage. In fact, let me correct that. Three types happen automatically. But Greg and Aaron say that our marriage isn't meant to be sustained by these three alone. There's a fourth life-giving one. We'll get to that in a second here. I kind of had a light bulb moment as we were going to break. So first we talked about the informal conversation, which just sort of happens when we catch up with each other. Administrative conversation, where you're administrating your marriage. I guess I had it in my head that it was just meetings, where we're setting meetings. That's where I was saying to do that well, to be intentional. But you're saying, I love the basketball analogy, Greg, where the defense is always talking to each other. It's in passing too. So you're going through life together, going, okay, I need to pick so-and-so up, and you need to do such and such. And that's what you're talking about, as far as just staying in touch with each other to manage your whole life. And in that place, you were telling the story of when Aaron asked if you would pick up Annie because she had a sudden commitment to attend to. So take it from there.
Yeah. So I was rushing. I was late. It was winter, icy. So I was rushing, driving too fast for the parking lot at school, and I ended up rear-ending this woman, knocked her bumper off.
Oh, my goodness.
It really didn't do damage to my car, but her bumper goes and just crashes to the ground. So we're exchanging insurance information. I didn't even have a jacket. So she said, just sit in my car, and we'll talk this through. And so as she's writing down my information, a commercial comes on the radio about an upcoming father-daughter dance. And she
goes, your eyebrows go up. Yeah. Sorry, keep going.
And she goes, oh, my husband and daughter are going to that, and they're going to have so much fun. And as the commercial plays on, and it says, and featuring special guest speaker, Dr. Greg Smalley, as she's writing my name down, and she looks at the name, looks at me, and I'm like, uh-huh, that's me. And she's like, oh, how fun. You will have to meet them. And I'm like, yeah, I'll bring you
Daddy, Daddy, this is the man who heard our bumper.
Exactly. Yeah. He ruined our car. So, you know, and again, to your point, Susie, it there's so much that we need to talk about as a team making decisions as it pertains to to-do lists and schedules and finances and all those kinds of things. We have to talk, but we have to be willing to be flexible as well.
That's good.
Aaron has to matter. I have to matter. But we need to be flexible because life is changes constantly.
For sure. And, you know, we've been talking about, we've had this conversation over chores because so often this will go right in line with who's doing what around the house and communicating about that. There was recently a research article that came out about that moms carry a lot of the mental load of stuff going on around the house. And so in administrating our marriage, Greg made a comment that we weren't going to eat out, where we weren't going to be able to eat out for dinner, that he wanted it to stop. It was kind of one of those things like, hey, we need to eat at home and we've been eating out too much. And he was
we're getting killed.
Yeah, he was just making a comment. Well, immediately he says that and I take it and I'm like, oh, great. Well, that means that I have to plan meals for 7 days a week. Way to
for
go,
the
Greg.
Rest you know? Of my life.
My life. 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, 31 days a month, you know, and so he had no idea that that's what I was thinking. So I think a key part of this portion of communication, this type of communication, a key is communicating with each other and taking time to understand what the other person is implying. What are they saying? So not in a million years would he have guessed that's what I heard when he said that. Mm. And so part of this, we have to take the time to really take a step back and ask questions, seek to understand, you know, be willing to step in when we can to assist and to, you know, really take over someone else's, your spouse's portion of the basketball court, like your analogy with basketball, that it is, you know, we have to communicate as a team and really figure out what's working. Because if it's not working for me to make meals 7 days a week for the rest of my life, you know, and I have resentment over that, I need to speak up for the health of our marriage. Mm,
boy, that's so good. Well, you guys heard my open about, you know, when and why does communication break down in marriage? I mean, is it from a fight? Is it from too much time not communicating? When you think about these informal conversation, administrating your marriage, and the next one is dealing with challenges, would you say that these kinds of, like, we stop hearing what each other means because of an accumulation of hurts or neglect? Or what would you point to when you start to see more often than not we miss each other because we're not hearing each other's heart anymore?
I think what happens over time, if these three, so informal conversations, administrating the kind of business meetings, and then dealing with conflict challenges, if those three monopolize our relationship. And by the way, we ask people at a seminar to you know, with those three in mind, how much of your communication involves those three? What percent? And it was fascinating. The average was about 90%.
Whoa.
So So think about it. If the majority of 90 to 95, if 100%, I mean, if this is all we're doing is small talk, chewing the fat, administrating, and dealing with problems – over time, I probably don't feel safe. Like, if we're alone, this is all we're going to do. I don't want to talk. Mm. And I think that's what happens for people, is that we train one another that if we're alone, it's pretty unsafe because we're going to get into one of those first three. And this is not fulfilling on any level, or it's going to lead to conflict. We're just probably going to avoid. We will figure out other things to do when we're together, or if those three are the only things that exist. That's the problem.
Wow. Good. Okay, so number three is dealing with challenges. Unpack that one.
Yeah, this is, again, just one of the types of conversation communication that happen naturally, because in Scripture, it's actually dealing with challenges, but in Scripture, this verse that we have become aware of, 1 Corinthians 7:28, but those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And, you know, that's really quite encouraging, isn't it?
You never hear that at a wedding.
Yeah, no. I was at a wedding on Saturday, and they didn't bring that up. I don't know why,
well,
you know?
I don't think you should have shouted it out.
Yeah, I said, you didn't talk about the challenges. You've got to tell them.
As they're hauling her out.
Scripture even says it. Yeah. I think, yeah, she changed her mind and ran the other direction. But, and no, marriage is awesome, as we know. But there are challenges that we have to deal with. There's frustration. There's conflict. And we've got to have these conversations, and we've got to look at that as opportunities for growth for us individually, for our spouse, and then in our marriage, that there's benefits to this type of conversation. Really, the benefits are that we get resolution on the individual issues, but then ultimately, as we work through these challenges, we develop marital grit. And we've talked about that, oh, a couple months ago on the program, Susie, and it's just essential that as we have these challenges, you know, Scripture says that we're going to face them, but we have to recognize that as we work through them in productive ways, that we are going to get to the other side of it, and we're going to be stronger and better because of it.
So this goes deeper than the administrating your marriage, because it's actually going, we're going to make time to deal with some of these things. Greg, how often do we maybe neglect this? Or does this happen automatically? I mean, I think there are times when, you know, when the floor, you know, drops out or something breaks, or it forces your hand and you have to deal with it. But oftentimes it seems those crises happen from maybe not administrating or maybe not paying attention to some of the things you need to pay attention to. Speak to it if you would.
Yeah, challenges are always going to happen. Again, we don't have to work to create problems in our marriage. You know, just even from simple solution, you know, Aaron, I literally was writing an article based on these. And as I'm typing away my computer, my phone rings, it's Aaron, pick it up. She's like, I'm totally lost. And I went, where are you trying to go? She was trying to drive back from Dallas to Colorado Springs. Somehow her GPS took her all the way up into Oklahoma. She's
wow.
calling me from the University of Oklahoma going, this doesn't feel right.
This doesn't look right. I don't know why I'm here.
Oklahoma. So, okay.
See, yeah. That stuff is going to happen. You don't have to work at those kind of challenges, whatever they are. What we have to work at is how do we resolve that? So in that moment, you know, Aaron needed me to jump on the computer and say, well, okay, where are you?
He
okay,
was
I
thrilled
see you.
Because I said, I need you to problem solve now. I don't need you to listen to me and validate. I need you to get on the computer
where do
and
I turn?
Figure out where I go.
And so I helped her solve that instantly. But the part that we have to work at, though, is a willingness to bring problems to a resolution. So instead of avoiding conflict, sweeping it under the rug, the true benefit for your marriage is that we work through this. As Aaron said, that's the benefit. A marriage won't survive if we can't work through problems.
Mm-hmm. Susie, the hilarious thing, when I ended up in Oklahoma, I was actually listening to one of your podcasts.
Aha!
See, I knew.
Oh, that just blesses me beyond measure.
It was so intriguing, and it was totally had me captivated. And before I knew it, there I was, Oklahoma.
Had she listened to several, she would have called me from Canada. Is this anywhere near Colorado?
Yeah.
Banff?
Both have a C.
Oh, my goodness. Were you driving by yourself?
I was with Garrison and Annie.
My goodness,
of course,
girl.
My little man got on his phone and some app or something or other. So we had three GPSs going, and we kind of picked the one that was the shortest distance back en route.
You are such a trooper. I think we're going to take an early break, because we're going to come back. I want you to spend the rest of the show talking life-giving conversations, what these are, how we can engage, and just some practical ideas. I know you guys have mastered this, I think, in so many ways. So you'll offer some great practical takeaway for our listeners as well. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. When we come back, we're going to talk about this is the fourth type of conversation, and it's imperative that we pursue it, we initiate it, we engage in it. It'll bring marriage great life. It'll help us to flourish, and that's why we're talking about it today. We'll be back in a minute.
typical and be anything but usual. We know that there's no such thing as impossible.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, having a great conversation with my friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, about important communication styles and types that need to happen within the context of marriage. And the first three just happen automatically, informal conversation, just catching up on the day, administrating your marriage, where you're helping each other, you're playing as a team, keeping each other abreast of everything that's going on. And then the third one was, where'd it go? Help me out.
Challenges,
addressing the challenges and dealing with problems, getting good at this. I know these things happen instinctively, but I do submit that you can get better at these three types of conversation, right? I mean, like you can become more skilled at administrating an informal conversation and challenges.
Yeah, and that's the point. So I think it's easy for people to hear these first three and dismiss them, marginalize them as, oh, yeah, we don't want to do that. We only want to do the life-giving. That's not true. You actually need these first threes. They all serve a purpose. They all have a benefit, and you can get better at them as you function as a team, as you seek forgiveness, give grace. I mean, just all those things will help you to better utilize those. Our point is that those three will monopolize your marriage and completely consume your communication time if you're not intentional about this fourth.
All right,
and that's where
perfect.
That verse, you know, comes in, that the tongue is the power for life and death. We're saying is if all you do are those first three, you are slowly killing your marriage and your communication. People just will stop talking.
Because you really take the excitement out of it, you know, and the
you really do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're needed and they're beneficial, but your marriage won't survive if that's the only nutrients that it's getting. And it has to have this other type that we would call, like the verse says, the power of life or death. This is more life-giving communication.
I remember when we were on our anniversary trip this last year, Kev was sick with a fever, most of it, so it was a real hoot. But anyway, there was a couple of days where he's starting to feel better, and we were just starting to get kind of jumpy, you know, and I said, let's go in the pool and run the pool back and forth, and we have to use the alphabet and come up with a word for every letter of the alphabet that talks about what we are, what we have in marriage, and we can't get out of the pool until we
clever.
Do. Well, of course, I involve exercise as well, but we were belly laughing by the end of the stuff we were coming up with. But it was like, I was one of our highlight memories of the vacation, and it was the silliest thing, but it was outside the box conversation. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. That's mm-hmm. life-giving mm-hmm. communication.
Mm-hmm. We actually, Greg and I, we were just at a family camp with our kids. Three of our kids were with us. And then we go, we always end the summer going to the beach. And so we sat on the beach for 2.5 days, and we have some of the greatest conversations. And, you know, even about, you know, we're both reading books, but then sharing with each other, you know, what we're reading and how it's impacting us and what we're feeling about it and our reaction to it. And it's just such a great thing for a marriage to spend time being playful, like you're saying, you know, affirming one another, expressing gratitude, saying thank you, being curious and asking questions, reminiscing about the beginning of your relationship, about the good times over the years that we've had together. Mm-hmm. Just is so beneficial to us because it draws us toward one another. And, you know, it also gives us an insight into what's going on in our spouse's inner life. It deepens our connection and we understand them a little bit more. We continue to get to know them and grow to understand them more and more over the years.
You know, I think it's really important too is, you know, we schedule times for those life-giving conversations, but also to know that they can be, I think, a deterrent to a fight, because I remember one of my favorite stories that you guys tell. Well, Greg, you usually tell it, but when you got lost and you were kind of brooding and thinking, oh, here it comes from Aaron because I got us lost. And Aaron just said, remember Aaron, and you, Aaron had questions
yes.
for you. And you guys ended up having one of the most life-giving conversations. But it goes back to Aaron, what you're saying about having courage, because you had the courage to say, I'm going to set this thing aside and we're going to engage as a team. Maybe tell that story because it's a perfect example of you don't have to wait for the opportune moment. You can make those moments.
Well, it was one of those moments that Aaron said, please consult a map. This is before GPS.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, make sure you look at the route. And I'm like, I don't need a map. you know, we're going west. No, we were going east, east. Which is very
different. Yeah, we were driving to Nashville for the AACC
famous
convention.
Last words. I don't need no stinking map.
Yeah. I didn't.
And I think Greg was actually presenting at this convention, this Christian Counseling Convention.
All the more reason to get there.
Prime example of what happens when you don't ask for directions.
I found what appeared on the map to be a great shortcut. Mm-hmm. And so I took us all the way, hours out of our way, down this lonely highway.
Into cornfields.
Yeah, it got less and less populated. In my mind, I was thinking, this can't be good. I haven't seen anybody in like 10 miles. And what looked like a bridge on the map ended up being a dead
ketchup
end
smear
by the Mississippi River.
I'm sorry, what now? Go ahead.
I said what looked like a bridge ended up being a dead end right at the Mississippi River.
Man.
Which isn't really easy to cross,
no.
By the way. It's rather large.
Yeah, without a bridge. And a matter of fact, I saw a sign as we were driving probably, 10 miles prior to getting to the cornfields and the dead end that said dead end. And I said, Greg, I'm telling you that was a dead end. That sign said dead end. He's like, no, we just got to keep going. And I remember when we got there, I thought, I have a choice here because we're alone. And we're going to have a fun time on this trip. And I am committed to this fun time. I will not get mad.
You could have done the I told you so.
Oh, completely. Yes. Completely. But I didn't. I didn't. And I said, well, this will give us more time in the car together or something like that. And try to reframe it positively.
Remember what you asked me? You said, okay. And she goes, all right, answer this statement. I feel loved when you fill in the blank,
right.
And, of course, I was nervous at first going, what am I being set up for?
Yeah,
she's
right.
She's got to punish me here for some reason.
Come here, my pretty.
But she grabbed
you. Sorry. I'm going to walk him right into it.
I was thinking Wicked Witch of the West there for a moment. But she grabbed paper and a pen and just wrote down what I said, and she then answered it. And we spent hours backtracking. But we just went through the list. What does that one mean? When you said you like this, tell me more about that. Mm. And it was the coolest life-giving conversation.
Did you have to ask questions about I feel loved when you ask for directions?
I think you threw that in at some point.
But how did that make you feel, Greg? Because you've said this before. Were you were bracing because you knew, it could be coming. And it didn't, and it turned out to be this affirming, life-giving relationship. I mean, conversation. Tell me what that did for you.
Yeah, well, she extended grace, but it could have ended just at grace. She could have just been silent. She could have just said nothing. I'm not going to do the I told you so. And we could have sat there in frustration because now we had to backtrack 2 hours and then keep going. But not only did I get grace, but then literally life was added to our relationship as I learned things. I talked to her about things that never would have occurred to me. And that's the point. This type of communication is 100% proactive. You have to make this happen. This really won't happen on its own. We're going to shoot the breeze. We're going to deal with schedules. We're going to have to work through conflict and solve problems. That stuff is all going to unfold. But if we don't intentionally spend time really asking each other, how you feeling? What's going on? What are you dreaming about? What are you hoping about? Man, what scares you the most? I mean, I even asked Aaron one time, all right, so if I'm supposed to ask life-giving questions, if this is all about asking you questions, well, like what would be meaningful? Thinking that she would, ponder it for a while, pray about it perhaps. And she goes, oh, I got four. And I went, no, really, take your time, think about it. She's like, if I think, I'll give you 10. How many do you want? And I thought, well, I could probably take it 4. What are they? I've memorized these. This has been like the last 7 years. And she said, ask me how I'm doing emotionally. How are you feeling? Ask me how things are going between me and the kids. Now, not to administrate, because you can't do that here. This was all about just their relationship. How are things going between you and the kids? How are things going between Erin and her close friends, her girlfriends? And then what's one thing that God's been teaching you? And that's what she said. And I've memorized those. And when we have time, we're driving a car or we make time at home, I'll ask her some of those. And I've had to learn to not start with, how are you feeling? Because she's got a lot of feelings. I'm not
going to
lie.
I can emote. That
can monopolize.
Sure.
Well, how about you, Aaron? Like, what questions do you ask Greg? Or does he have one question?
I ask all those same ones.
Are you in the mood?
Exactly.
That's all that I need.
I ask all the same questions, although I take out, how are things going between you and your girlfriends?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's not an appropriate question.
Yeah,
very good. And, you know, basically the same ones, how are you feeling? And how are things going at work? How are you doing with the kids? And what's one thing God has been teaching you as of late? And, you know, it's always awesome. I love it. We'll be out on a walk and he'll ask me one of those questions. And it's always so sweet because I just go, oh, he's being interested in me. He's curious about me. And it just, I mean, he wouldn't have to say a word after that. I shouldn't probably have told him that. But
I mean,
the benefit is already there that we are, he's being intentional about pursuing me and connecting with me.
That's
and building
so good.
Life into our marriage. And that's why when we say our marriage needs communication, does that make sense?
Totally.
It means a lot of things. We are going to shoot the breeze. We do need to deal with conflict. We do need to administrate. But if we don't add in intentionally this last one of giving life to one another through our conversations, we will quit talking.
Yeah. I know I've told you this before, but I've given Kevin acronym. Plug for plugging in, you know, to how to plug into me. And P is to pursue me. L is to lead me. U is to understand me. And G is to give to the poor. So if he even instigates conversations around any of those, I mean, I light up because those are just core things for me. And so I just feel like
that's why he sponsors like 3,000 exactly. Vision kids.
Or whatever. Honey, guess what I just did? Rwanda.
Exactly. You just swept me off my feet. But I mean, I think to help each other know what's life-giving, I think that's such a great model. We've got just a minute left. Do you have any other examples just from your own life-giving conversations that you can give as takeaways for those listening today?
One of the things that the research shows is that this woman did this fantastic research, studied 400 couples over 30 years, and what she found is that the difference between, you know, satisfied couples and couples maybe that didn't make it or were unsatisfied was simply 10 minutes of life-giving conversation, more than those other couples that weren't doing well. And so if you're thinking, well, you know, that sounds great, but we don't have time. You know, the reality is that I target 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Where can Aaron and I steal 10 minutes? Is that right before bed? Is it early morning over coffee as she's getting ready and I bring coffee to her right there? And by the way, this researcher found that it doesn't have to necessarily just be face-to-face. This can be through a phone. This can be through Skype. And so even when couples are separated, if you just use that time to be curious in how are things going, and just for 10 minutes, that breathes such life into your marriage, and our marriages can sustain through all that other kind of communication that we have to have anyway.
And you'd be so surprised at where you can find 10 minutes. We squander way more time than we know. And Aaron, I'm wondering as we wrap up, if you pray for that person listening today who's realizing this is a missing element for them, would you pray for that person today?
Yes, absolutely. Lord, we come before you. And I just ask, Lord, for that man, that woman, that husband, that wife who's listening today and maybe feeling discouraged over where they're at in their marriage, Jesus, that you just breathe life into them. Give them courage, Jesus, to take that step toward their spouse, to take that step to seek healing if it's something in their life. And Lord, I just pray for soft hearts in both the husband and the wife, that they can receive what you have for them, the life-giving stuff that you give us as a gift in our relationship in marriage and in with you, Lord. So Jesus, I lift them up and ask that you just are with them today and that they feel your presence. In your precious and holy name, amen.
Amen. Just love you both so much. Thanks for your time and for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, anytime, Susie.
You guys are the best. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, my guest, her story made the news, the international news. Wait till you hear this gripping story. Can't wait for hour two. It's coming up next.